No, I thought I was late. So I was like, oh my gosh, I got to get down there. I got caught up watching Dancing with the Stars.
You were watching Dancing with the Stars?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. Nice. Just want to make sure.
Michelle get you hooked on that show or what?
No, she watches it, so I just watch it with her. All righty, we'll get started here.
Hello, everyone. This is Angel Edenburn, author of the Kansas Vampire series, and you're listening to Comic Pop Library.
Whatever you do, I'll do it too. Show me everything and tell me how. You don't mean something and yet nothing to me. Oh, I can see there's so much to learn. It's all so close and yet so far. I see myself as people see me. Oh, I just know there's something bigger out there. I wanna know, can you show me? I wanna know about these strangers like me. Tell me more, please show me. Something's familiar about these strangers like me.
Everybody, welcome to another episode of Comic Pop Visits, brought to you by Comic Pop Library. I'm Richard, along with
Jonathan
and Logan.
In today's episode, we are going to be visiting with Angel Edenburn. She is the author of several recent novels in the last few years. The one that we reviewed was Night Blind, the first volume of the Kansas Vampires book. So, Angel, thank you for joining us tonight.
Hi, guys. Thank you for having me.
And the last few years, like I said, you've been busy. You've had, you know, Paranormal Bites, you had Night Moves, Touched by Shadow, Caressed by Light, City of Dreams, and then also Light Shards and Shadow Dances. So you've been pretty busy the last few years.
Are those all like different
Among
series?
Among others, the Caressed by Darkness was one of the first published things I had done. I had two short stories in it.
Okay, cool.
And that was an anthology.
That's cool. With the other books, are these all part of a series? Jonathan had that question. He was wondering about if they were different series or what.
Well, it's pretty much all the same world. And sometimes some of the characters overlap, but only the ones in the Kansas Vampire series are a series. Nice. But Night Moves does tie back to Paranormal Bites. Okay. Because I have Night Moves as the prequel to a story in Paranormal Bites.
Okay.
So it seems like it's kind of like that one series, the Dark Hunters series, where they, it's like the same series, but they come up with different characters.
Oh, Sherlyn Kenyon.
Yes.
Yeah, Dark Hunters, Discworld, Dance.
Yes, very much like Sherlyn Kenyon. Yes, only not quite that. Yeah. Like that yet.
I haven't read them, so I don't know. Jonathan's the only ones read those.
That's what it, I mean, like, that's what it seemed like to me when you were just explaining it right now. So
it's a good approximation.
Well, it says here that you're a poet and writer and gothic fusion dancer. You are definitely artistic, and you have a fur mom to a menagerie. So let everybody know, are we talking about little pets, or are we getting into the furry nation here?
Well, I'm a belly dancer, and I also have a small ranchette.
Okay.
So I have chickens, I have horses, I have dogs, I have cats, and that's my little menagerie here that we call home.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, one of the things, you also take part of your actual life, you're a belly dancer, and Isis, we assumed we're pronouncing these right, so you'll have to kick us and tell us if we're pronouncing them wrong.
No, that's fine, yes.
Okay. Isis is a belly dancer as well, so I assume you're pulling that from your experiences with the performance that you've done yourself.
Yes, I normally perform a couple of times a year. Usually it's in Kansas City.
Oh, okay, cool. And one of the things we really had a question about, or I had a question about, I don't know if everybody did, but if everybody doesn't remember, Night Blind is about basically Isis is kind of like a daywalker in a sense. Luther is becoming her mentor.
Mentor, yeah, and in a way.
So we have all this going on, but she also has Justice, who's her bodyguard slash lover, and for some reason I can't think of her husband's name off the top of my head.
I can't think of it either. I just spend so
Lucas.
Long.
Lucas.
Yeah.
Lucas is her husband, and there's a little bit of a love triangle here, or familiarity triangle.
Mess.
Yeah.
I wouldn't really say it like a love
it's
triangle.
It's a mess.
I'd say
it's a hot mess. Yeah.
I'd say that it was more of, you know, she was needing somebody to
release,
snuggle while her husband was away. And apparently he was needing the same thing while he was away, because that was mentioned in the book as well.
They had some sort of arrangement, if I remember what you guys were talking about.
Well, Lucas kind of had fits about it, and Luther was kind of like, hey, you can't say squat because you're doing it as well, so you can't say anything to Isis. So, but one of the things I had a question about, and you've listened to the review and everybody that's out there, is there a difference in your universe? This is your world, and because it felt this way to me, that there's a difference between having sex and a difference between love. Because everything that took place with Justice was so fast. But when it came to Lucas, you stayed there for a while longer. So in your world, is there a difference, or is just you use that just as a storytelling way to get move along?
Okay, that was not one of my questions.
That's mine.
Okay. Well, with Isis, for her, yes, it was a difference.
Okay.
She was not and is not in love with Justice, never has been. And she was very lonely. And so, yeah, it was, you know, to be crude, it was kind of a quickie.
Right.
She just needed that connection to somebody because she felt so isolated. And when all of this kind of blew to Valhalla in a handbasket type thing, in the next book, they really do have to address some of the issues of the infidelities and such. So it's going to be interesting.
Okay.
And see, my thoughts was that even though it was just sex for Isis, Justice actually really did fall in love with her.
Yes.
This one of her menageries to sell him.
Yes, one of the kittens, yes. They seem to think they need to be up here with me.
Oh, that's all right.
But like, I got the read that Justice did fall in love with her, even though he knew it was just sex. So,
yes,
I think that there's going to be drama between Lucas and Justice in the next book. And of course, she did have that one vision that has not happened yet.
Yeah.
Drama, drama, drama.
Yes, drama, drama, drama. Like I said, her world right now is a hot mess.
There you go. Oh, I jumped into that because that was one of the things I really had a question about. So apologize to the listeners that we jumped right to the sex part. That's me. Sorry.
But boom, chicka, wow, wow.
Well, it's not really that way. I classified this as spicy. You know, it wasn't pure over-the-top erotica. It was more spicy.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you're going to develop that more in your future novels or you're just going to kind of keep it that way, but I kind of felt this one was more spicy. But,
and I mean, like, she kind of did jump, and I think I made a note of this. She kind of did jump into the sex right away. And within the first, second chapter, there was sex?
Sex was good.
But that's also a peak. I mean, we were, you know, we're following her around.
Right.
And that kind of was her relationship with Justice at that time.
Right.
But I try and tell a good story.
Right.
And if the sex happens, then it happens. But I want to tell a quality story.
Right.
And I didn't think I could leave the sex out and have as much of the same impact.
Right.
Well, vampires are such sexual creatures anyway, so you have to have that element in there. That's just a given almost, so it's not unusual.
Now, my question is are we going to learn more about the... I can't think of his name right now.
Thinking of Roman?
Yeah. Are we going to learn more about Roman and Isis's past in the next book? Because you kind of like, you did say that they knew each other, but you didn't say how they knew each other. So that was one thing that I was just like, how do they know each other?
That's, again, some more hot mess. You probably got the feeling that they had known each other for a very long time. And you notice that Roman is kind of obsessed with her.
Right.
And part of the backstory with that is the how do I explain it?
If you can't get into it, we understand.
It's a situation of he was interested in her.
Mm-hmm.
And her creator, this is a little bit of a spoiler, but not much, found out that he was, at that time, courting her, and he was abusing her.
Ooh.
And so Grace put a stop to everything and very quickly married her off to Lucas.
Huh.
And the next book will pick up on some more of that and some more of the backstory. And there'll be another book after that that goes even further into that, so...
Okay.
So, like, you really didn't explain Grace very much in the book either, but I'm beginning to get the connection and how what happened to Grace happened. So, I'm not going to say anything more than that.
You got it.
One of the things that we also kind of commented on that I thought was interesting was the way you named your characters, and that they seem to have a themed of Egyptology. So, again, this is where you can say, I can't answer that. We realize that. But if you can, was there an intentional purpose behind that? And is that going to be explored as well? Like everything, you know, like Jonathan said as well about Roman, is that going to be explored later on as well?
Yeah, some of it's going to be explored, but some of the Egyptology just kind of happened.
Okay.
It was more basically when you were turned as a vampire, you basically now have a new life, so we're going to give you a new name.
Okay, so that's...
And the trend was set for Egyptian-type names so that you could sneak in the plot-relevant Egyptian-type names in there.
There you go. That works.
That works.
So, yeah, that's the way to get the Egyptian names. It was popular during the time. It's just like kids' names now. Whatever's popular is popular at the time.
So the plot-relevant names that are extremely fitting make sense to be there.
Okay, cool.
Basically, some of the things that we looked at and some of the things I enjoyed about the book, and we're going to kind of get into the technical parts of the book, not necessarily the story. We're going to wrap around everything. But the length of the story, I've gotten to where I enjoy the 200-page books roughly to 250-page books, because I get a bigger book and I'm like, man, do I really want to sit through this when I can read a couple other books? So these type of books, I don't know, this kind of feels like it's going to be a trend. I'm not sure. This is the only one I've read of yours. I have some of the others, and I know they're roughly about the same size. So was that your thinking when you started marketing the books, trying to make them where it was more accessible? And like we said in the podcast, you know, people are in such a fast pace. It's readily available for them to read and actually enjoy, and then just gear up, like Jonathan says, and waiting for the next one.
Actually, yes, that's what it was. I know I wanted a quick moving story, and I really did want something that wasn't too terribly long, because, I mean, I realize I'm not writing the next Pulitzer Prize winning book here, guys. This is for entertainment, you know, and a quick, easy, fast read, you know, for over a weekend or something is what I personally myself like. And the very first novel that I had written, I had done it as a National Novel Writing Month project as a NaNoWriMo. And so my first manuscript I shot for 50,000 words.
Okay.
And that's about, you know, what you get there is a little over that, but cool. It just seemed like a more achievable goal.
Okay, that's cool. Now, I appreciated it, so yes, I did.
Now, do you like? Do you live in Kansas, or are you just basing your books off Kansas, or did you used to live in Kansas?
She apparently works here.
I live in Kansas.
Okay.
I've lived here all my life. I grew up around Canopolis, Kansas. It's a tiny little town between Hays and Salina.
Okay.
And I'm the first generation in five generations that didn't work in the salt mines in that area. And currently I live just south of Manhattan, Kansas. And so in all of my books, what I try and do is use the unique geography and history and some of the little quirks that we have in Kansas as kind of a highlight to make it a little more interesting. Mm-hmm. My stepbrother lives out in California. And before he passed away, he always said, "Oh, I didn't know that about Kansas. That's interesting. I just thought it was flat."
Pretty much what everybody thinks.
But I think we've got some really neat stuff here. You know, we've got the salt mines. You know, they've got Stratica. They've got, what else do we have around here? Of course, we've got the colleges and such. But like Ellsworth and Ellenwood have the tunnels.
Okay.
We have the old abandoned decommissioned missile silos. Yep. We have a lot of these, you know, these old air bases and such. So we've got a lot of history besides just the cow towns and the railroads.
Jonathan's here saying, "What? We got those stuff?"
Yeah, we do.
Yep, we do. We used to have a missile base here, or a missile silo here. Yeah. It's somebody actually turned it into a house, if I remember right.
Is that the underground house?
Yeah.
Huh.
I know there's one near, there's one near Salina. I know there's one out here by Topeka. I know up towards Kansas City, they turned a different missile silo into a high school.
Okay.
So, and a little bit of a spoiler for the next book, there is, when I was in high school, there was an old missile silo out around Wilson area.
Okay.
And it was a really spooky place, and I thought, you know, what if? And so it becomes important in the sequel to this book.
Okay. Uh-huh. That sounds interesting. That's cool. But I was getting ready to wait for you to say, well, they had the one missile silo for high school, and they just shut the kids in and leave. No.
Well, actually, somebody else wrote a book that was something like that.
Oh, Lord of the Flies again, just underground. Mm-hmm. But getting back to some of the points in the story, Luther and Isis, and this is the hard part about doing interviews. Don't know which we can touch on and which we can't, since there's more to come. I'm really interested in their relationship, to be honest, more than anything else, just to find out their past, since they seem to share the same creator, I guess, since they're both daywalkers in a sense. I don't think you use daywalkers, but I'm just using that in a general sense because that's what most people
Luther uses the term sun child.
There you go.
And Roman refers to the sun children.
Right.
And in their world, they kind of are freaks.
Okay.
Because it's like once every so many hundred years, there will be one vampire that will show up that will have these characteristics.
Okay.
And there can very few survive. And in the next book, Luther does open up a little bit about some of that history and about how that came to be. Okay. And
who is Grace?
Grace is the maker.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
I was like, did I miss something? There it is in my notes. Duh, found it. I did actually have notes, be honest with you, Angel.
And it's okay. It's a very convoluted story.
And I know we talked about the Egyptology part of this, but we also kind of looked at maybe the medieval type feeling, or kind of like a deck of cards, cards or something.
They have their guilds, and they do have a bit of a caste system.
Yeah, because they have that. They had that one, handmaiden with Isis. Like, my lady, is there anything that I can help you with?
Yeah, Crystal. Yes, she's a lower class. vampire, she doesn't have much status. And some of the older, richer vampires are very happy to keep the younger, newer, less powerful vampires as, you know, servants and assistants and what have you.
Well, except for Isis.
Yeah, Isis is kind of...
Yeah, she's different.
Yeah.
All the way around.
But you also have stuff like the King of Swords and stuff like that. So,
yes.
So that's where I was going to get into the, maybe not necessarily the card deck theme, but tarot theme as well.
Yes.
So that.
Yes, the clans are based on the suits of the tarot.
Okay. That's what we were kind of wondering when we were discussing
it. Yeah, and in the next book, you will find out that there is one more clan.
Okay. So, and we've been talking about your book that you're working on. Do you have a projection of when that might be ready to go? Or November. Are you still pretty much... Oh, November.
November.
Yes!
It's with my professional editor right now.
Yes!
And I talked to her, and she assured me that November is definitely a doable date.
Okay. Very cool. Nice. Very cool.
So, sometime in November...
Jonathan's ready for it.
Yeah. Jonathan's ready.
That's good. I'm anxious to see where it goes from there as well, because like I said, I liked it because it was a nice, easy read. I was able to enjoy it. That's one of the things I really liked about it.
What I want to learn about is what happens to, oh, what's her name, who helped her out, like, who was keeping her prisoner in her house.
That was the...
Isabeau.
Yeah. Yes. Isabeau. Yeah, I want to know what happened to her. I want to know, because, like, after Lucas gets there and they get her out of the house, Isabeau tries to get her back in, and she's like, I want your powers. That's why I've been keeping you here. I want to learn all about you. Go.
Yes.
And I'm like, what's going to happen to Isabeau?
Isabeau will show up in the next book. Yes, she has had this centuries-old idea of keeping Isis as her cat's paw.
Yeah. Okay. Well, and see, like, with every book, you have to have a good villain and a good villainess. And I think Isabeau is your villainess.
She's one of them, yes.
That's what I got out of it, anyway.
Oh, you got Roman mixed in there, too. So he's going to be a thorn in the side.
He's a villain.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Roman's going to be a pain for quite some time. Yes.
I think he's a main villain, and like Isabeau is like the side villainess. Like.
Right. And we've been kind of talking about relationships more than anything else, but I want to let everybody know that, you know, it isn't all about relationships. There is action scenes in this. Let me find out where the good old boys are at. Where's Luther's crew? You might have to help me,
Simon
Angel.
Oh, Simon Schmidt.
Yes.
Psych and Twitch.
So
Mutt and Jim.
Yeah, so you definitely
Those two are something else. you wouldn't think they would be as good of friends as they are with as opposite as they are.
And then you got the old pervert.
Stan! Oh, yeah. Yeah, Stan.
Of course.
Yeah, he'll be in the next book. But he'll get it.
He'll be what?
He'll be in the next book.
Oh.
Stan will be.
I have a funny feeling that he's going to be losing his head. Off with his head.
It's possible. Anything's possible. It's possible. But yeah, there's...
Probably be losing something else. But
that's what I was kind of thinking.
So off with his head, yes.
Yeah, off with his head. There you go.
Just a different head.
There you go, Logan. There you go. But the characters themselves, there is action within this book as well. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you know, and it's not just fights. There are gun battles. There are chases. So you're packing in this package of a, you know, a medium-sized book is what I call it. I mean, you're packing a lot of fun, entertainment, and it's not just, oh, we're here to go over here and go to the corner and have a relationship. You're trying to mix everything together and just have a fun read and a fun story. And again, that's what I liked about it. You're just taking all the elements, mixing them together, and just having fun.
Yes.
I don't know, what was it, Twitch? Was he the Scottish? Was he the Scottish?
No, you're thinking of Psych. And he's more of a skinny, looks to be about 21 years old, redhead, who talks like Ice T.
Okay. For some reason, I felt like he was Scottish or something. Maybe it's because of the red hair.
No, he's more Snoop Dogg or Ice T type.
But,
and, you know, Twitch has his little bit of a slight English accent and is very formal and is very uptight. And in the third book, we get a big surprise with him.
Well, with those two, like I said, I like the Luther and Isis angle. I'm very interested in that. And Jonathan's mentioned what he's interested in. But the other two that captured my interest were those two. And it's like, you could do something just with those two. Like, they go out on a mission or something for the the council or Luther or whomever. I guess they're underneath Luther, rather.
Yeah, an anthology of their missions.
Yeah, an anthology of their missions, or just a book about a mission that they're on. I would love to see that, because, like you said, the interaction with them was so much fun, and they had fun when they were doing what they were doing.
They do. Twitch tries to be so uptight and so formal and so proper, and of course Sykes like, just unclench your butt cheeks, dude. You know,
gotta do that every once in a while.
Yeah.
But I'm definitely interested in hoping you develop them more and maybe even spin them off into either a standalone or something like that. Just have fun with them. That'd be very
cool. That's definitely a thought. That's not out of reach. Mm-hmm. There is a little more development of those two, of course, in the coming books as well.
Cool. Very cool. So, like I said, I would definitely interested in that. And we've pretty much, you know, we got several on the shelf, so I haven't been able to read your other books. And you said they're kind of interconnected by different characters weaving through. Of the books that have already been out, if you want to discuss it, since we've only read the one, what are the characters that have woven through this book that were in your previous books? Were there any, or?
No, there haven't been in this one.
Okay.
So it's basically, this is the same setting, same world, but
just different.
Hasn't interacted with the other ones as of yet.
Not yet. Not yet. Okay. And then I think the other thing I loved about the book, and this is one where it's like, you can tell we're in Kansas or the Great Plains. Basically, close is just one word and one word only. And we didn't mention this in the podcast that we did the review on. I was wanting to, but it slipped my mind by the end of it. But I think there's like two or three times, I can't remember, at least two, maybe three times, where Isis is cuddling in her bed, and what is she cuddling underneath, or it's on top of the bed, but a quilt.
Yes.
You don't see that term in many books, unless it's in a genre book, but definitely not a vampire type book. So I was like, I love it. This just screams Kansas and Great Plains.
Yeah, they do. Luther likes his old-fashioned quilts, and so does Isis, and they just kind of tend to, you know, have them with them, even when they, you know, change houses or whatever. They usually try and make sure to grab one and throw it in the car with them as they go, you know?
Mm-hmm. You know, and it's kind of, I liked it because my mom is a quilter, and, like, she probably wouldn't read your story because of some of the...
Oh, you don't know that, Jonathan.
I know my mom.
Well, she might surprise you, too.
Because of some of the violence and some of the stuff there. Like, but she'd probably be like, oh, quilt? I'm glad she didn't call it a blanket. Never call a quilt a blanket around a quilt.
No.
That's a big no-no.
That's a very big no-no.
Did you go, or I assume you must be a quilter as well, or you know several within your community.
Actually, I have done some quilting myself.
Nice.
And one year I made my mother cry for Christmas. Because a quilt top that my great-grandmother had made, and when I had picked it up when my great-grandmother died, I didn't know how to put a quilt together.
Okay.
And several years later, I put the quilt together and gave it to my mother for Christmas, and so I made her cry with the quilt.
Oh, nice, nice. Mm-hmm. That's one of those aw moments.
Yeah.
I can't say anything. I can't do anything with my hands. That's why I talk.
You can do moderately good drawings. You're generally basing it off something, but you can do that freehand.
You think so?
I've only started to get semi-competent at freehand copying stuff, so.
Oh, well. It's fun. You're working on the current book.
It's Flipside.
You said
it. Yeah, I'm working on Flipside.
Flipside?
Huh.
Okay.
Yes.
Something might and have already taken that name. You might want to check on that. But from what I understand, books have loose on the names anyway, so.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, okay. You cannot copyright a title.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's fine.
I bet I know what you're thinking of, though.
Yeah, it's a webcomic turned comic book, yeah.
What do I usually use when I'm closing out a show?
See on the flip side?
Yep.
But, yeah, there's also a webcomic turned comic book that, if I remember correctly, is called Flipside 2.
Yeah, you can't copyright titles, though. That is true, you can't.
It'll probably be fine.
So that is book 2 of Kansas Vampires.
And book 3 will be Downtime.
Cool.
Yeah, because she's got to have some downtime after all what she goes through in the next book.
Well, I thought you were going to try to keep with the damn, like, night blind. But
for a job. What else?
Snow blind?
Well, like, night bad. Blind, night something, night something else.
No.
It gets pretty hard to do, and then it would get confusing enough as it is with night moves. And night blind, I mean, that's already confusing enough.
Uh-huh. Yeah, but I know why you came up with the night blind for the title. I'm trying to figure out
Flipside
and
well, you gotta
downtime.
Wait till you read the book.
Yeah.
Got to read the book, man.
There's issues that you get to see the flip side of, apparently. And vacation.
There you go.
Definitely not a vacation for her.
One of the things, do you have a timeline for the third book? And
no, I don't. Okay, so it would probably be...
So it's in the beginning stages?
It's about half written.
Okay, cool.
It's about half written. I would probably say the first half of it, my crit group has gone through. And
what group?
We've done some editing on. Yes, I have a crit group that helps me on this.
Okay.
Keeps me from making that author mistake. You know, you've read those books that the author does something that's incredibly, you know, I realize, you know, this was supposed to suspend, you know, belief, but sometimes they do something really, really stupid that you just pick the book up and throw it at the wall and go, no, I can't, I'm done.
I got
it. My crit group kind of helps me from making those mistakes, so.
Yeah. I just figured out what a crit group was.
It's the betas, the people who read through it and suggest things.
Yeah. Yep, my critique.
Yes.
So beta readers is what some people use, or alpha readers.
Yes.
So.
They're both. Yeah, they're actually a collection of other self-published, published authors, professionals.
Nice.
I've got some ex-military guys in there. I've got a school teacher. I've got two medical professionals in there. So.
So yours getting fact-checked.
Yes. I am.
Going into this type of work, did you think when you were starting off with this, it would develop into such a bigger world when you first started writing? Or was this always in the back of your mind, this is what you wanted to do?
I've always been a storyteller.
Okay.
I have a sibling. She's 9 years younger than I am. And when she was little, she would ask questions, you know, what's the Easter Bunny? You know, what's Santa Claus? And of course, my mom would go like, I go ask your sister.
Well, Santa Claus is the ghost of that one saint in wherever it was. I can't remember where it's Saint Claus was based.
So I would just start, you know, talking to her and interacting with her and telling her a story.
Okay.
And I've been a voracious reader. I started reading at age 3.
Nice. Wow.
And I've just always been a voracious reader. And, I read a vampire series, and it was very popular. A lot of people absolutely loved it. I opened my big mouth, and I said, I can do better than that. And I had a couple friends hold my feet to the fire and say, prove it. And I said, okay. And so I came up with Isis and her world, and it just kind of snowballed from there.
Nice.
That's neat. I like that. Yeah. Very cool.
And I only started about 7 years ago. So
very cool. I like hearing those. Because I know some authors like to get everything kind of what I call a Bible or the history of their universe before they start writing. And I didn't know if you had done that or if you were just kind
of... A lot of that, yes. Yeah. But there's a lot... I mean, some of my characters, like Luther, who really frustrate me sometimes because he doesn't always tell me everything. Mm-hmm. And it takes a while for him to open up. Or sometimes I will be trying to work on another project and, you know, Twitch will be, you know, speaking to me very loudly and getting himself into trouble. And
cool.
So I did have, you know, some basic things set up, you know, the clans, the caste system, that sort of thing.
Okay.
And I do keep a record of the characters and who's related to whom and how. And so I do kind of have a Bible per se, but some of it I let develop organically as well.
Okay, cool. So you give yourself a little bit of freedom there.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
You got anything, Jonathan?
Well,
when you're having fun, it goes fast when you're having fun. So.
Right. Well, the last time you guys had commented on the possible origins of my characters.
Okay.
About the vampire origins.
Yeah, we were kind of wondering. Yeah. I think Lenny was wondering what type of vampires were these. So he was.
Well, first of all, you know, I figure when I got you guys talking about it for that long, you being men, okay, and knowledgeable in the sci-fi fantasy world, I figured that was kind of like a double score if I got nice. Talking about it for that long. Yeah, mine are more medically based, not supernaturally based.
Okay.
So how does that happen, medically based?
Okay, what I did was I actually spent a lot of time researching, and I actually spent several long conversations with a nurse practitioner and a retired licensed nurse. And some of it's very theoretical, and yeah, there's a little bit of magic, because I said so, type off stuff there. I'll be honest
artistic
about that.
Artistic license.
Yes, artistic license, yes. But the basis of it is... I don't know if you know that there's a theory, and they're working on it, about virus load in the body, sometimes with people with chronic illnesses like lupus and things like that.
Hmm. Okay.
What if vampirism was similar to that?
Hmm.
And that it was more medically based than deity, supernaturally based, yes.
Okay.
Yes, what if this was virus, a mutation that, you know, you ended up with in your body that sometimes you survive, sometimes you don't.
Hmm.
But it kind of keeps you in sort of a stasis, maybe. But with your body having the right virus load, your body stays stable.
Okay. Huh.
And in the next book, it will, you know, hit on some of these things.
Okay.
But that's my artistic license.
Putting your spin on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. That's interesting.
Because I wanted my vampires to be, you know, they're strong, they're badass, but I also wanted them to be vulnerable.
That leads to all types of possibilities in my head. So that's kind of interesting. I'll have to look forward to exploring that with you. So that could be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not necessarily a true master. It's just, like you said, just perchance and the virus is taking over. Huh.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll have to keep reading and find out how that all works. Cause
kind of a, you know, you just happen to survive thing, you know.
Okay. Everybody will have to wait and read about that in the future books, because I don't think that was mentioned very much in Nightblind. So
No, it was just hinted at, and there's going to be a lot more secrets come out with the successive books.
Okay, so that's food for thought for everybody out there. So that's definitely getting my mind spinning on different ideas, just to see if maybe you'll go this direction or that direction. So that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
You always want your readers wondering which way you're going to go, so that's cool.
Mm. Exactly. I don't want to be too predictable.
Well, I think that's going to about wrap it up.
We're
coming up on our time here for when we're going to need to upload. Do you want to mention anything else that you're working on? Are you working on another series or another books, or is this pretty much what you're trying to concentrate on right now?
Well, actually, I do have another couple of books in the works. I've got a sci-fi short story.
Oh, cool.
That I'm working on, and then I've got a werewolf book.
Ah.
Where she is, her brother's basically a screw-up. Okay. And she's lost a couple of cousins, and there's some dissent in the pack. And so she's just trying to figure out what's going on at this point. But that one will get into old legends,
that one's
herbs, and plant breeding. Okay. It'll touch on that one.
Okay. What was that you said, Logan?
So this one's going to be more mythological than that science-type vampires.
I don't think she heard you.
So this one's going to be
more mythological. I don't know that it'll be more mythological. It's going to be more, you know, they're werewolves. You're born a werewolf. But I guess a little bit of a spoiler is she had a great aunt that used to breed Wolfsbane and Belladonna and such.
Cool.
And those substances will come into play in the book. So.
Well, doesn't Wolfsbane kill werewolves?
Don't know.
Suppress, kill, generally, but who knows?
Yes, but it will be interesting to see how it is used in this book. So.
Yeah.
Now I've already got questions about your new book.
And yeah, so basically, their aunt was the poisoner of the group, probably.
It's possible.
Poison and generally poison to werewolves, poison thing. So, yeah, sounds like it.
Yeah, you can get immunity to poison, too, so... Sure. Hey. There's possibilities there. And I like their werewolf angle, so that's definitely got my interest. I think I like them because they're a little bit more violent. I don't know. I don't know what that says about me, but hey. For some reason, out of the supernatural creatures, I get drawn to the werewolf the most. So I definitely am looking forward to that. Because they're dogs. Not necessarily because they're dogs.
You know, some werewolves are kind of cute. They're not all violent.
Okay. I
have no clue what you're talking about there, but
I hope you don't meet one.
Vampires can be just as violent as some of them sometimes do.
That's
depends.
True.
Which vampire are you using? True. The sane ones or the bloodlust crazy guys?
That is true. That is true.
Sometimes both in the same setting.
Oh, yeah. You guys will like the werewolf book coming up. Yes, you will. So
cool.
And that'll probably be later next year. So
okay. Very cool. Before we leave out, would you want to mention some of the ways people can keep up with you? I know one of the things was concerning one of your lead characters, Isis. So you want to mention some of the ways that fans can keep up with you and the character?
Oh, yes. Isis has her own blog.
Ooh.
Yes, she does. She has her own little WordPress page, and it is under isisthevampire.com. And she will sound off about anything and everything, and I never know what she's going to say. She also has her own Twitter page, but because she really didn't have very many followers, she really wasn't tweeting very often and wasn't blogging often enough. So when she finds out that there's, you know, going to be a podcast and stuff, of course, she's just going to have to go after that. So
she's going to come.
And I also do have an author page at Amazon.com.
Okay.
And I do have an email. Well, actually, Isis has her own email, too.
Oh, okay. Nice.
So anybody want to contact her is, of course, isisthevampire@gmail.com.
Okay.
And, of course, it's spelled I-S-Y-S. But, yes, she's even got her own... She decided she needed to be up in the informational age with everybody else, so...
Okay, very cool. And I know, Angel, you have your own blog as well.
Yes, I do. Angel's Musings. It's a WordPress page, yes.
And also a Facebook page out there that we'll go through and put links to all these as well.
That would be great. Thanks. And I appreciate you guys.
And it's angelsmusing.com?
Yes. Okay. Angelsmusings.com. Yes.
Okay. Make sure I get it spelled right. If not, I'll find it out there somewhere. Get the links there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Very cool. Well, we've been having fun visiting with Angel Eden Burns. She's the book that we looked at was Night Blind, the first book of the Kansas Vampires. And of course, as she alluded to, you have Flipside coming out this November in Downtime. She is also working on that. As well, she's given us some insights into some other things she's working on. So be putting your ear to the ground and paying attention to her blogs and see what's going to be happening. She's giving us the sci-fi, the werewolves. So she's given all us a lot of information that we can kind of mull over. Can't talk right now. And just have fun. And just have fun trying to figure out where is she going to go with these stories. So, but Angel, thank you so much for joining us this evening.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
We hope everybody out there has been having fun with us and Angel. We'll see everybody on the flip side. Bye now.
Bye.
See ya.
Bye. See ya.
Come along with me and don't be scared. I just want to set you free. Come on, come on, come on. You and me can make it anywhere. But for now, we can stay here for a while. Cause you know, I just want to see you smile. No matter where you go, you know.
Thank you for listening to Comic Pop Library. We welcome your comments and suggestions by emailing us at admin@comicpoplibrary.com. All emails submitted become the property of Comic Pop Library and are subject for use in our show. We would also appreciate it if you would spread the word about Comic Pop Library by posting about us on Twitter, Facebook, or just tell someone about us. This podcast is not endorsed by any publisher, distributor, or studio, and it is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The views and comments of the show hosts are their own and are not reflective in any business, entity, or organization associated with ComicPopLibrary.com.